Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. I think I finally found a song. I knew there was a heat wave song that I could use on the radio because, man, doesn't it feel like a heat wave out there? You know, you get 40, 50, 60 below zero. I mean, even 21 was just the ambient air temperature the other day without wind chill as I was driving into the Montana Talk studios. And it's like now it's like, man, 20 above. It's like it's feeling like a heat wave. Thanks to one of our listeners, she was able to help me out. Let's see, Mary. Mary gave us a call, gave a call to our producer, Caden, here, and she says, oh, you got to play this one by Linda Ronstadt. Let me see if I got it queued up for you in the right spot. All right, here we go. You got to do the Trump dance with this one, by the way. Yeah, it's feeling like a heat wave out there, isn't it? Isn't it just crazy? I was talking with our friend Becky Hillier. She's like, I didn't even wear a coat on the way into work. Didn't have the heater on in my car. And it's still only like 20 degrees out there. But, yeah, after what we saw this week, it's feeling like a heat wave. Kelly, way up there in Glasgow, Montana, it's feeling like a heat wave even in Glasgow this morning. He says, we are clear up to -5 this morning. Talk about a heat wave. Talking about the cold weather this morning, how do you think the livestock and the wildlife are feeling about the warm-up? Kelly says, I saw 5 cottontails on my way to work this morning, and they sure seemed happy as they were romping around. When -5 feels like a heat wave, you know you're in Montana. But look, here's the deal. Like as some of our farmer rancher friends will tell you, look, as long as those cows, as long as they've got water and they've got, you know, maybe some good nutrition, you keep them fed and you keep them hydrated, oh, they can survive this. They can survive this weather. Now, it's a little bit more of a challenge, though, if you're calving, of course. So that's when you're really thankful for any sort of a heat wave whatsoever. But speaking of water, if you guys heard our conversation yesterday, we had a great legislative update and more with Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. In fact, I want to go back and pull up the transcript of our conversation. We covered a whole bunch of different ground. One of the topics that I brought up, though, was a vote at the Montana Land Board earlier this week. Attorney General Austin Knutson says a water rights issue came up before the Montana Land Board. And for those who don't know, all of the members of the Montana Land Board are your elected statewide Republican office holders. And Attorney General Austin Knutson said, I was the only member of the Land Board to vote in support, what he believes is in support of water rights on that water rights case. So he talked about that yesterday. Well, today, with the Mate Show in town, we've got some great guests in town as well. We've got Carl DeVries with us out of Roberts, Montana. He is here representing the Senior Ag Water Rights Alliance. We're going to talk about some of the specific legislation being proposed in Helena with Carl DeVries right after this. And then later in the hour, we've got Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, will be with us as well.
Securing America.
The Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee hearing Thursday discussed security risks at America's national labs, especially when it comes to China. Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah.
DOE's national labs have pushed the boundaries of innovation and strengthened our national security. But for those very same reasons, they've also become a prime target.
Former DOE Undersecretary Paul DeBarra testified to what he's seen at the labs.
Communist Chinese nationals who were employed at DOE labs stole inventions in violation of U.S. law and took them to China for commercialization.
Where, Senator Lee says,
former DOE researchers are helping China develop hypersonic missiles, deep earth penetrating warheads, and advanced submarines.
The aim is to protect our intellectual property, But witness Anna Puglisi of the Hoover Institute warned,
our current system is not designed to counter this kind of threat.
Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here. Great to have Carl DeVries in studio out of Roberts, Montana. He is here with the Senior Ag Water Rights Alliance. And, of course, a lot of folks from all across Montana are attending the MATE Show, the Montana Agri-Trade Expo, in Billings today and tomorrow. And you guys are going to have a booth there. So if people want to come talk to you, they can come see you at the MATE Show.
Yes. Thanks, Aaron, for having us out here today. And that is correct. We invite everybody to come out to the MATE. There's a lot of different aspects of agriculture to be seen out there.
Yeah, it's a fun show. It's kind of like, you know, we were in Glendive for the Gate Show last Friday and, you know, similar deal, but on a bigger scale, of course, because it's Billings, the biggest town in the state, and draws people from all across the state, all across the region, frankly. Yesterday, we were talking with Attorney General Austin Knutson, and this is a topic we've covered before here on this show. And got to say, I share the concern of A.G. Knutson and several others. What is our state DNRC trying to do here when it comes to water rights? So you've got a couple of different bills that you guys are looking at right now, Senate Bill 263, Senate Bill 189. Where do you want to start?
Let's go with Senate Bill 263, and it plays off exactly what you said. What are they trying to do? And in order to answer that, we need transparency. We need to have them put their cards on the table. And, they went into executive session claiming that, well, we got to figure strategy and all this and that. Well, for what? Strategy for what? Let's see what we're arguing about. Maybe they're asserting a legitimate claim. Okay. And they're entitled to do that. But let's put the cards on the table and let's see what is going on here. And that's what 263 is basically about. The land board voted last year unanimously to do that, and now they're kind of peddling backwards.
Yeah, so big picture, I got a great phone call. You know, just like when we have open phones on the show, anybody can call in. And it was Alan Redfield, former state lawmaker out of the Paradise Valley area, a great rancher down there. And he brought this water rights case up and brought this water rights issue to the table. And then I saw the Scudder decision come out of the Montana Supreme Court. We had Jocelyn Galt Cahill joined us on the show to talk about this as well. So big picture, the Montana Supreme Court in the Scudder decision, if I'm not mistaken, they basically said, well, they said, okay, because their water right was attached to a lease on state lands, the DNRC, once that state lease goes away, we're going to take away that water right. I mean, I could see where, okay, if you didn't have the water right prior to the lease, they could say, okay, well, you lose the lease, you lose the water right. But when Jocelyn Cahill joined us on the show, she said, yeah, but the challenge is they're apparently trying to go even further than that and trying to say, well, even if you had a pre-existing water right and you used your water right to support that state land lease, they could come away and potentially take away that that water right after the fact. That, to me, would be very concerning.
Correct. And it is. And you're right on that. Another thing, they end up with what we're calling a paper water right, because they're having a claim on private property that they have no access to, or a means of delivering it to their to the state land. So that bodes, well, what's next? I mean, what good does that do them? And are they planning eminent domain in the future to roughshod their way in on private property? I mean, who knows where that would go? So, yes, that is very disconcerting. And like I said, there's many different cases, and they each need to be weighed out on their own merit.
The good news that I heard from A.G. Knutson yesterday is that at least all of the members of the land board are wanting to at least try to provide some more oversight here and saying, okay, before any of these water rights are taken away, the state land board needs to be able to review this and sign off one way or another. So that's good. But I also can appreciate where A.G. Knutson is coming from to saying, well, wait a minute, why should they even have the ability to take that away or to green light taking that away?
Right. Well, and that comes back to Mr. Redfield's bill. That's why he introduced that in the legislature, and their wisdom got it passed, that the DNRC was out of control filing claims on private property water rights. The DNRC didn't do anything with it for about 3 years. They just basically thumbed their nose at that law. Well, then groups like ours and others started putting pressure on them. Now they've come up with some whole solutions that, yes, you can temporarily use the water on state lands, and they're trying to fix it. But it's only a policy fix within DNRC. We need it statutes. We need it. We need the affirmation that this stuff will not continue on in the future.
Yeah, that's right, because we may have a good DNRC director right now, but you've got an entire existing department that has been there under 16 years of a Democrat governor, and you never know what could happen 3 years from now in a change in department. So let's get something in place to provide permanent protections and just let people know what the operating rules are.
Right. And so we're out here today soliciting membership. I'll be honest with you. When we testify in front of the legislature and we say we have so many thousand people that we represent, those guys pay attention. And they understand that's their constituents that don't have time to come to Helena. But we'll make time and go up and speak for them. And they appreciate that, and they know that.
All right. We'll talk more with Carl DeVries here with the Senior Ag Water Rights Alliance. They're at the Mate Show today, if you'll be there. Hey, we'll also share their contact info if you want to link up with them. If you're listening in the Flathead right now and you want to link up with these guys, we'll share their contact info here as well. That and more coming up right after this. And if you want to jump in on the conversation, you can give us a call as well, 294-0970.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
People are upset about high rents and home prices, but others are much more quiet about it. Because for every buyer and renter who feels the pain of digging deeper into their wallets to find the money to pay for housing, there's a seller or property owner who experiences joy in exactly the same amount. Not to mention homeowners in fast appreciating areas whose wealth has surged. This underscores the reason why the issue of housing affordability has proven to be so difficult to effectively address, and that is the local opposition to the policies that would make it happen. Even as national politicians begin paying attention and start sounding off on proposals to fix it, the trench battles over every new development in communities everywhere are just as intense as ever. Is it undemocratic to override the wishes of local residents and permit more housing to be built? Perhaps. But those who would benefit from the increases in supply that would help bring down the growth in housing costs don't get a vote because they're priced out of the market. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
The Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee hearing Thursday discussed security risks at America's national labs, especially when it comes to China. Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah.
DOE's national labs have pushed the boundaries of innovation and strengthened our national security. But for those very same reasons, they've also become a prime target.
Former DOE Undersecretary Paul DeBar testified to what he's seen at the labs.
Communist Chinese nationals who were employed at DOE labs stole inventions in violation of U.S. law and took them to China for commercialization.
Where, Senator Lee says,
Former DOE researchers are helping China develop hypersonic missiles, deep earth penetrating warheads, and advanced submarines.
The aim is to protect our intellectual property. But witness Anna Puglisi of the Hoover Institute warned,
our current system is not designed to counter this kind of threat.
Kid Muretsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. It's a classic one-liner that still applies today, as you can hear. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Great to be with you. Carl DeVries with the Senior Ag Water Rights Alliance. You know, Carl, it's just kind of funny to me. One time I took a week off or took a few days off, and I was volunteering for a great veterans organization, getting out on the water and, you know, fly fishing and things like that. But I had my camper out there in the Gallatin Valley, and I'm listening to the radio, and David Noble was filling in for me, doing a great job as always. And David Noble was going off on some of the liberals in Bozeman who say, "We don't have water." He's like, "Yes, we do." And anyway, I always want to go back to that big picture, because we end up fighting over water, and it's like, we've got plenty of water here in Montana. We just ship it all downstream every single year. How do we retain more of that water? If we need more water, how do we put it more to use? Do we need more reservoirs in the Gallatin Valley? I was just talking with somebody who's in real estate the other day, and, you know, talking about how there's all these fights over water, And how are we going to get more affordable housing online if we can't, you know, get over this whole water issue? And it's like, we can figure this stuff out, yeah, right? It's right. Just some people just want to claim that we don't have water so that they can shut down, you know, farming and ranching, or so they can block, you know, any development in the Gallatin or the Flathead Valley, things like that. But we can figure this stuff out.
You know, along that line, you bring up a very good point. And I'll say personally, this is my personal opinion, the Yellowstone River is known as the last free-running river, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm okay with not blocking that anywhere and retaining that for our tourism and whatnot. But there are so many places, off-site storage, that could be utilized. And, yes, store that water rather than watching it go down to New Orleans. And use it in this time of year, the off-season, and fill those reservoirs, and then put it back in later. Everybody, Trout Unlimited, everybody would benefit from things like that. Recreation while the dams are there. I mean, and yet it falls on deaf ears.
Mm-hmm.
They can ship how many hundred billion to Ukraine and not build a reservoir in Montana?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the whole conversation we've been having about the St. Mary Irrigation Project, which, by the way, on that front, we did get some good news from Montana Senator Steve Daines. He said he secured a commitment from the Trump administration that funding and that project will continue to move forward. Because some people were wondering how, you know, the trimming the $2 trillion deficit might affect things like that. But as Senator Daines has pointed out, important infrastructure like that still needs to be funded. And so he got commitments from the Trump administration on that front regarding that whole Lifeline of the High Line water project. And so, no, you're exactly right. Where are some of the best fly fishing in Montana? The secret's already out, so I'm not putting any secrets. The Bighorn River.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what feeds the Bighorn River? Yellowtail Dam,
right,
which is another incredible recreational opportunity with the Bighorn Canyon. And so, but we're at a point in America where we've got, you know, over litigation, too many of these environmental groups that don't want you to touch anything, and so we just literally can't build anything anymore. I mean, it's a big conversation we've been having all week long.
Yes, it is.
So you've got two different bills that the Senior Ag Water Rights Alliance is looking at in the Montana legislature and backing right now. Senate Bill 263, which would, you know, have more oversight and transparency with the land board and the DNRC regarding water rights. You've got another one, Senate Bill 186, okay, which would provide for expedited processing in district courts of water rights.
Correct. So it's an offshoot of DNRC is pushing to establish a permanent water court. And we're opposed to that. And so we think if we can strengthen the district court models and let the district courts handle it, which is the current way things are being handled, and we support that premise, that I believe, and it's not just my belief, it was set up so this temporary court was going to go through all the water rights, and when they're done, they have a final decree. That is supposed to be the end of it when they have the final decree. No more arguing about priority dates, flow rates, et cetera, et cetera. So the DNRC wants to establish a permanent water court. Well, what purpose is it going to serve? And that is, if they really logically cannot touch those final decrees, the only thing left is civil and criminal matters, which are being held in district court. So there's roughly 14 to 19 water cases a year right now in Montana that would be under a permanent water court. So you're going to start this whole government bureaucracy, create this to handle 14 or 15 cases? That does not make sense. And they're not only 14 or 15, they're just criminal civil. So we're adamantly opposed to a permanent water court.
And that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's where we're going around the state trying to get people. People don't realize, people in agriculture don't realize this is even going on.
Well, and doesn't the current water court judge, I think he was appointed by McGrath, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. the former left-wing chief justice, and how much does this guy even know about egg water? I don't know. I'm throwing the question out there. Let's see, you know, the big picture on this whole water thing, the Flathead Lake debate reminded us once again, oh, no, we've got the water. It's just the Biden administration didn't want to manage the water properly. They wanted to send too much water downstream too early in the year. And then when the lake levels were low, just blame climate change. Right. It's like, no, we have Hungry Horse, we have Kerr, we have Fort Peck, we have ways to manage this water and to maintain the lake levels. And so that's why, you know, Congressman Ryan Zinke was like, keep the lake at the level that it needs to be at. It was mismanagement. It wasn't climate change or anything else. It was mismanagement by Biden federal bureaucrats. So the Senior Ag Water Rights Alliance, you said, look, bottom line, the reason we're at the MAIT show today is we want to get other folks in agriculture in particular to join our organization and be a part of our alliance. How can, if they can't see you at the MAIT show today, how can they become a part of your team?
Well, we have a website. It's sawramt.com, sawramontana.com. And feel free to research that, see what we're about, and join us up. We also have encouraged some advocacy support because we do have a water attorney and two lobbyists that are doing our bidding. Plus, all of us on the board, we go to the legislature and speak as well, testify during those hearings.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know, and then I think Jocelyn Galt Cahill, she's one of your members. She's a great spokeswoman for all your efforts as well, because she broke down the topic. Because these issues, I mean, water rights and agriculture issues can be so complex. And, you know, a lot of farmer rancher folks might get it right away, but a lot of folks in town might say, wait. And so you and her are just able to break these issues down so simply that even the town kids can figure it out. Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you. Anything else you want to tell our listeners across Montana?
Just the website, sawramt.com.
Where are you going to be at inside the MAIT show?
Hey, we got a great spot down by the drum where everybody puts their tickets.
Ah, to try to win those great door prizes and everything. Oh, that's a good spot. What? I think the doors open. Is it 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
The doors open?
Yeah, 10 to 6.
Somebody asked me, they said, are you going to do your show from down there at the MAIT show? And I thought it'd be fun, but we wrap up at 10 a.m. And so it's like, okay, so we wrap up and everybody shows up and kind of takes all the fun out of it. Plus, it's a little easier here in studio. We can take phone calls and more from back here. All right, Carl DeVries, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with us. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have Susie Hedlund, the state superintendent of public instruction. She, of course, just elected a big win as the Republican for superintendent of public instruction, which is huge because, you know, if the Democrats, if they thought they could have picked up one seat, if they, and of course they love controlling the schools, so you know they really wanted to win that seat, but they didn't. And of course, Susie Hedlund was such a great candidate for superintendent of public instruction. But we're going to get a chance to catch up with her. I think this may be the first time we've got her on the show since she was sworn in as the superintendent of public instruction. So she will be on with us right after this. Apparently, she's had the opportunity to speak directly with some White House advisors talking about education and much more. So I look forward to catching up with her in just a second. You know, we were at the Gates Show in Glendive last week. I don't know if you guys saw the photo yet. I've got it on our Montana Talks website if you go to our Gates Show highlights. But our friend Tim Tharp out there in Savage, you know, Tim from Savage on the Mondakistan border, he's lost 90 pounds thanks to Billings' last diet. Now, you might be saying, well, Aaron, if Tim lives in Savage on the North Dakota border, why is he doing a program called Billings' Last Diet? Well, I did Billings' Last Diet, and I lost 33 pounds in under 3 months. But you might say, well, Aaron, you live in Billings. Yeah, well, they have a remote option now. So for those of you that know that that program worked for me, and it's worked for me for 7 years now, well, you can know that it works for Tim out there in the North Dakota border. It'll work for you if you're in Butte. It'll work for you if you're up on the High Line, too. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or call 406-294-6751. And, yeah, ask them about the remote option. Or if you're in the Billings area, hey, you can just pop in and attend one of their free seminars anytime. All right, let's see. Yeah, we're going to talk with Susie Hedlund. I reached out to Susie Hedlund's office the other day. Do you guys remember when we were talking about the electric vehicle school buses? What was it? $160 million a Canadian company was supposed to deliver. They got the $160 million from Joe Biden. They were supposed to deliver all these school buses all over the country. They went belly up. They went bankrupt. Joe Biden gave them $160 million for EV school buses we didn't even need. How much money is needed for the entire St. Mary Irrigation Project, the lifeline of the Highland? $200 million. That one Canadian contract alone practically would have paid for the entire stinking Highline Irrigation Project, for Pete's sake. Not to mention sex changes in Guatemala and you know, all the other stuff.
Hey, everyone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so any minute now we should have Susie Hedlund, newly sworn in, newly elected superintendent of public instruction. And, we've got such a busy lineup on the show today that I'm just, I hadn't even really gotten a chance to think about how cool this conversation is going to be because of the fact that, hey, not only is it a big deal that the Republicans held on to the superintendent of public instruction office here in Montana. I mean, back in the year 2000, the Republicans basically swept statewide offices in the major elections. We won the Senate race that year and much more. But the one seat they did not pick up was the Office of Public Instruction. And so when Elsie Aronson was elected, you know, a little over 8 years ago, she was the first Republican in like 34 years or something to hold that office. And then she got reelected. And then now to have a newly elected Republican Susie Hedlund in that office, that's going to be huge as well here. And I'll just await word from our producer, Caden, as soon as we got her on the line here to jump in on the conversation. But it's just going to be huge. But then you think about this. Now, we've got President Donald J. Trump and his team getting into place, and they're looking at doing away with the Federal Department of Education and some of the absurd mandates that are out there. I don't know about you guys, but whenever I hear the leftists and the Democrats and the liberal media freak out about any effort to do away with the BS at the Federal Department of Education, I'm like, wait a minute. Because I've heard teachers union members on the left
and certainly the critics on the right. Everybody has complained about federal mandates out of the U.S. Department of Education. But now the Democrats are acting like, oh, no, what might happen if we change any of this? Okay, it looks like we do now have Susie Hedlund on the phone lines with us here. Madam Superintendent, great to have you on the show this morning. Is she muted? Might be muted here. Let me see. Looks like your mic might be off there. I know we're trying a new computer-based platform here instead of our normal phone lines. Susie, can you hear me? Are you there? Okay, I'm not getting any audio. I think her mic might be turned off there. Caden, maybe just see if she wants to join us on the phone lines. I see. She's not there yet. I see. It looks like her staff's got her set up to join us on the show. Okay, all right. Okay, let me see. In the meantime here, let's see. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, we're going to get a phone call from Guatemala. Yeah, today's one of those rare days where we've got a busy lineup kind of here all morning long. Ryan Hall with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. He's also the editor of the Rural Montana Magazine. Ryan Hall is in Guatemala with our great electric utility linemen from Montana, and they're working to bring power to some of these remote villages that have never had electricity to their location. So that's kind of a cool deal. And then we're going to get into the important kind of big topics of the day, talking about what is coming up before the Montana legislature. So one of the bills, and you guys have heard me talk about this before, one of the bills in the legislature right now is House Bill 490. This is a bill that would ensure that electric cooperatives won't go bankrupt from wildfire lawsuits when the utility is not liable. House Bill 490 states that utilities will not automatically be liable for fires they don't start. They'll pay actual damages when power lines do start fires, but they won't be held liable for expensive punitive damages if they follow a wildfire prevention plan. And so anyway, the Montana Electric Cooperatives are urging everybody, call your representative, tell them to support HB 490. The example that made so much sense to me was, you guys remember when there was that big fire outside of Townsend, Montana? Well, basically, here you had the Biden administration, Forest Service. They wouldn't let the electric co-op cut the trees near the power line. But then when the trees near the power line sparked the wildfire, the same Biden Forest Service that didn't want to allow them to cut down the trees wants to blame them for the fire. And then, they want to also say, okay, well, now we're basically going to bankrupt your electric cooperative because you won't be able to afford wildfire insurance. That's the topic we're going to be covering in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Okay, looks like we do now have Susie Hedlund here on our chat with us. Let me just press a couple of buttons here as we do this new computer platform. Susie, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. By the way, happy birthday. I hear I had a tipster tell me that it might be your birthday today.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
Well, let's start with the really good news. President Donald J. Trump and his team starting to take place. Cash Patel confirmed as FBI director. And I'm really excited to hear some of the changes they're going to make on the education front. As I understand it, you've already been meeting with some White House officials.
I have. I'm so excited that we've had the opportunity to speak directly to the White House administration. And we are looking forward to McMahon's confirmation. That's supposed to be happening anytime now. And then what's even more exciting is that Kirsten Baszler, the North Dakota superintendent, who I'm in contact with regularly and who was really supportive during my campaign, I've gotten to speak with her, and President Trump has nominated her to oversee K-12 school policies at the Department of Education. So I feel like we're in really great hands with that one. I'm confident that through this transition, our education interests in rural and western states will be in good hands. You know, she understands our demographics, our rural nature, and it's pretty exciting to have that point of contact right now.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard me earlier. I mean, I was
I was lamenting, or I don't know if lamenting is the word. I was basically highlighting the fact that, look, whether you're a left-wing teachers union member or, you know, an everyday school teacher, conservative school teacher, everybody has complained about unfunded mandates or just other BS mandates coming out of the Federal Department of Education. And so that's why so many people have talked about, let's just do away with that, block grant that money to the states, let the states like Montana figure out, you know, how the money should be spent and what should happen in our schools. And so it's going to be exciting to see what the Trump administration does to make education great again across America.
Yes, I've made it clear that we are supporting President Trump's efforts to reduce federal overreach in education, and we're excited about the opportunity to return education back to the states and local communities. We have staff ready to go that work in each of these areas of the federal programs, and I am advocating and voicing the importance of some of those programs that our schools do truly rely on, and we have not received any notice of reduction in funding for those programs at this time, but just a potential transfer to the states like we discussed. And I was able to verify that with Senator Sheehy and talk to our congressional delegation this week about it as well. It was pretty fun to have them at the Office of Public Instruction. And we've already gotten great news about reduced reporting. There's already been cuts to the reporting requirements, and Senator Sheehy offered to advocate for me to really go after one of the ones that's been terribly burdensome for schools and administration and has no real outcome or impact, the civil rights data collection. And so that would be a huge win if we're able to get that taken off the table.
You know, it's funny, even, you know, having a radio show, the FCC has these stupid quarterly reports that we're supposed to fill out. And it's like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, what a waste. Like, we don't have the time. Our producer, Caden, doesn't have the time for this. We're trying to deliver to our listeners here a show and all this other stuff that we have to do, website articles and, you know, everything that goes with, you know, running radio stations. And we have this stupid paperwork we have to fill. I would think that this would be welcome news. Again, whether you're a left-wing teachers union member or just an everyday school teacher, they're sick and tired of doing stupid, meaningless paperwork.
Yes, it is a huge burden right now for schools, and I have a goal, a priority at the Office of Public Instruction to reduce reporting requirements, and not only at the federal level, you know, we're pushing for that and excited to see that coming down the pipe, but also at the state level. And I just think the bottom line here is that Montanans know best how to educate our students, and we don't need the heavy-handed regulations from D.C. bureaucrats holding back our education potential here. So I hope that people can start thinking about it as an opportunity and not let the fear take over. We've received notification that the USDA Food and Nutrition Services will continue as normal. There'll be no interruption. You know, that's important for feeding our students, obviously. So
yeah, maybe they'll add some more protein.
Good information.
Maybe they'll add some more protein to the USDA school nutrition programs there, right? Some more beef, maybe. All right. Hold that thought. Susie Hedlund, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back to you right after this. And thanks for being flexible with us with the technology here this morning.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And there are going to be moments when Donald Trump is going to have to put a lot of pressure on Congress to get their job done. The first big test after all these nominees get through is going to be the issue of reconciliation, and that means the budget that deals with the economy. And we better get the economy back on track. Right now, we're living under the Biden-Harris economy, and we're headed for another $2.5 trillion in debt. And inflation reared its ugly head in January. That's on Biden. That's on Harris. Trump is not able to implement his economic plan. And maybe we'll restore order and we'll actually get budgets done on time for the fiscal year, which begins October 1st.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
You know, this country was founded on freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and tried blockading us. And then we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, and you won't sacrifice service thanks to my cell phone provider, Pure Talk. Now, my cell phone company says no to inflated prices. And with a qualifying plan of just $45 a month, you can get an iPhone 14 or Samsung Galaxy for nothing. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk and text and 25 gigs of data and mobile hotspot at a fraction of the price of those big guys. So get your new iPhone 14 or Samsung Galaxy for $0. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch. It's fast, simple, and easy. #250, keyword save now for your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
This is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Sticky Bun Day. The origins debated. Some attribute the sticky bun to the ancient Egyptians. Others argue that it may have originated in Germany. Either way, it's delicious. On this day in 2021, the World Health Organization pleads with Tanzania to start reporting COVID-19 cases due to fears of a hidden epidemic in the country. In World War I, the Battle of Verdun begins in 1916 with a German offensive in France. The longest battle in the entire war, 9 months, leads to an estimated 1 million casualties. Born on this day in 1940, American political and civil rights icon and longtime congressman from Georgia, John Lewis. English actor Alan Rickman, born in 1946. He played Hans Gruber in Die Hard and Severus Snape in the Harry Potter franchise.
I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and ensnare the senses.
I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
My microphone, there we go. Okay, microphone's on now. All right, yeah, thanks for the patience on the technology. We're just going to move away from that whole Teams interview platform. There's just too much echoing we're hearing from too many of the guests here. This is cool, though. I got a message from one of our listeners that wanted to say hello to Susie Hedlund because... Their daughter said to say hello because they had Susie as a teacher three different times, and they absolutely loved having Susie Hedlund as a teacher. Susie, talk about the Montana legislature, really, and we only got a few minutes left here, so anything else you want to tell folks across Montana, but what are you seeing from an education standpoint in the Montana legislature right now?
Thank you. We have been working on some great work we're really excited about. There are many bills we're supporting to improve student outcomes. We have been able to support a bill, House Bill 357, providing funding for middle school students in career and technical education. You know, that's something that I've been very passionate about. And it not only passed, but they increased the funding for that. And so that's brilliant work, expanding those opportunities for our students. We have been supporting House Bill 300, which we are excited to see protects girls' sports, privacy, and rights, and supporting things focusing on school safety, ensuring backpacks. And we are passing bills to increase and just make sure that we continue to recognize and support military families. And thanks again for your service.
Well, thank you for what you've done to support military families, you know, especially being so close to Fort Harrison and Helena. And I know you were a purple school, as they call it, one of the first ones, if I'm not mistaken, back when you were still superintendent in Townsend. Quick sidebar here. I was saying earlier how there was this Canadian company that Joe Biden gave $160 million to provide electric school buses all across America, and then they failed to deliver. It sounds like any schools in Montana that were supposed to get EV school buses did get their school buses, but there's a whole bunch of other people across the country that did not. Imagine what we could have done with $160 million, right?
Yes, and I know that was a hard topic for schools to decide if they even wanted to engage in that because we know how electric things work in Montana. And, you know, it can be quite a ways before you have a charging station in a rural state like us. That's not always the best plan. Maybe for local route buses in our larger areas, it made sense. But we did have six districts that were awarded funds for electric school buses, and all six of them in Montana did receive them.
Yeah, everybody.
We do have an informational page about that on the OPI website.
Oh, interesting. Okay, great. All right, about a minute to go. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana? What do you want for your birthday?
I am just honored to be able to lead Montana's education system and create a brighter future for the next generation. I am honored to be at the Office of Public Instruction and just really doing the best we can to focus on supporting educational outcomes and bills that will support our education system. It's nice to bring the practitioner lens from the field and be able to have those conversations with the legislators. We are looking forward to the opportunity to bring those federal programs to the state level and do it, you know, from a Montana perspective without the bureaucratic level from the Department of Education. We're excited for Kaysler's nomination to be a part of that work at the Department of Education as I get to talk to her regularly. And we will keep our folks informed and try to bring the accurate and true information rather than the other, you know, information that's coming out of fear in the media right now.
Yeah, they're trying to scare everybody about all of the great work that's being done in Washington, D.C. right now. So we appreciate you putting out the facts and the information. Susie Hedlund, Superintendent of Public Instruction, great to have you on the show. Thanks for your time this morning. We're taking you to Guatemala next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
People are upset about high rents and home prices, but others are much more quiet about it. Because for every buyer and renter who feels the pain of digging deeper into their wallets to find the money to pay for housing, there's a seller or property owner who experiences joy in exactly the same amount. Not to mention homeowners in fast appreciating areas whose wealth has surged. This underscores the reason why the issue of housing affordability has proven to be so difficult to effectively address, and that is the local opposition to the policies that would make it happen. Even as national politicians begin paying attention and start sounding off on proposals to fix it, the trench battles over every new development in communities everywhere are just as intense as ever. Is it undemocratic to override the wishes of local residents and permit more housing to be built? Perhaps. But those who would benefit from the increases in supply that would help bring down the growth in housing costs don't get a vote because they're priced out of the market. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.